Well, you know what that means, don't you? Yes, Pesach is just around the corner. Actually, the first Seder is next Monday night, and I will not be on the air next Monday night nor the following Monday. So, as I mentioned last week, we're going to take a little bit of a hiatus, and I do know that as I forgot who it was, Saul said it would be a bit of a withdrawal. Well, what can you do? I mean, that's the way it is. It's a holiday time, and I have no control over the way the days fall out. But I'll be coming back, God be willing, stronger than ever, and continuing with now my second year. Yes, I started the 16th of March in 2009. This is show number 48. Well, why isn't it 52 or 3 or 4? Well, there were some holidays in between, and that's what we have to live with. Anyway, I will not be on the air next Monday or the following Monday. I do want to give you a heads up for those of you who love Chazonus. Save the date of Tuesday, March 25th. I'm sorry, May 25th. Save the date of May 25th. A dynamite concert will be taking place here in Manhattan, and I know that those of you who love Chazonus will want to attend. Okay, let's get right to the Pesach music, and this is Little Tal. Don't ask me who he is. Little Tal with Ma Nishtana. Isn't that a delightful version of Ma Nishtana? Of course, it didn't have the Alle Nacht von der ganzen Jahr, Essen, Milchum und Matze, and all that. That was my job around the table, sitting next to my dad, Sam Bernhout, and Uncle Benny Bernhout. This certainly does bring back wonderful, wonderful memories, the holiday. It was very, very special. It was always special. Okay, we're going to hear a few selections from a wonderful album, From All Other Nights. It's Renana Symphonette Orchestra, conducted by Eli Jaffe, and it features Yaakov Motzin and Colin Shachet. So we'll start. The first selection is going to be Dayenu.
Ilu yelo hotsiyano, hotsiyano mi Mitzrayim lo asaba hem shvatim dayenu. Ilu asa asaba hem shvatim lo asabe lo hem dayenu. Dai dayenu, dai dayenu, dai dayenu, 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 dai dayenu. Dai dai no, dai dai no, dai dai no.
Let's hear Vehi She'amda from the same group, Motzin and Shachat. Eliyafi, together with Yaakov Motzin and Colin Shachat, we'll now hear from the same album. This is Hallelu Avdei Hashem, a Rosenblatt composition, certainly appropriate for the Pesach holiday.
Alleluia, 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 Hallelujah, Hashem, Hashem. Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah,
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, Yishem Hashem Mevorach Me'atah Ve'ad Olam. Mi'mizrach Shemesh Ad Me'vorach. Mi'mizrach Ramat Chaim Hashem Al HaShamayim Kevodo Al HaShamayim Kevodo Al HaShamayim Al HaShamayim Kevodo Mika Hashem Elokeinu Hamagbi Hilashavet Magabil la shavet amash billi rot bashamayim va'aretz amagbil la shavet amash billi rot bashamayim va'aretz amash billi rot amash billi rot Mikimi, Mikimi, mea fardal, mea spot yarim,
yarim evion.
Oshimi, im nedive yamo. Moshimi, a keret abayi, tema banim smecha, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
Moshibi akeret, akeret abayi, hey mabani, hey mabani, smecha, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
Wow. that was not at a live concert, but it certainly felt like it, didn't it? Let's go again to the same group and hear B'tzeis Yisrael.
Betzeit Yisrael mimitzrayim, Beit Yaakov me'am lo'es.
Hayta Yehuda le'kodesh Yisrael matshelotam.
One more selection from this terrific album, and this will be a Yaakov Talmud, Yankee Talmud selection, and this will be Hallelu Et Hashem, Hallelu Et Hashem.
Hallelu, Hallelu, Hallelu Et Hashem Kol Goyim.
A really terrific album that was From All Other Nights with Yaakov Mortzen and Colin Shachat. And this is Charlie Bernhardt, hoping that you'll be enjoying this special Pesach program. Last week we started, and during the second hour there'll be a lot of chazanis that will certainly be of interest to lovers of chazanut. And well, what can I tell you? We're going through very difficult times, and I can't go through as if nothing is happening in the world, but we'll get to that in a little while. We're going to hear now another manishtana. This is the Bethel Congregation of Baltimore, and it's the children's choir, the children's choir of that congregation. I always love to hear children singing manishtana. Well, that was a children's choir from Baltimore. Now let's go to Syracuse, and this is a children's choir with Dayenu.
Thank you.
Syracuse Children's Choir. A little different, I have to admit, but okay. It's the holiday, and we're next going to hear an interesting Ki Lo No'eh and Chag Gadyor. It's three cantors. They have been recording together, Meir Finkelstein, Alberto Mizrahi, and David Propis. This is Ki Lo No'eh and Chag Gadyor. Rather rousing. Get ready. Wow, God, God, you are. That was Alberto Mizrahi, Meir Finkelstein, and David Propis. And this is Charlie Bernhout with a special for Pesach coming up next Monday evening, actually. I guess you're busy. Some of you have done your shopping already. I hope you have. And you've begun preparing the house for this wonderful holiday. And I guess it's appropriate to hear Bensian Schenker with very different from the last selection. This is Eliyahu Hanavi, Bensian Schenker.
Eliyahu Agilogi, Dirhevo Yoboh Emeno, Imashi Avendohi. Eliyahu Anavi, Eliyahu Agilogi, Eliyahu Agilogi. Ish asher kinei l'shem ha'chem, ish busar shalom yad yikusiyem. Vayecha pera bene Yisroel.
Yohu anovi, Yohu adini, Veni Yohu agiloni.
Ishtorosh temosor roheino Ishanigiro bal seyor besimono Tasbicheinu al yodom atoro Tashmiyeinu mipiv zoro tovo Totsiyeinu meafreno meyoro
Yohu anovi, Yohu adini
Ben-Zion Shenker, that was Eliyahu Hanavi. It's Charlie Bernhout, and just want to remind you that there's no broadcast next Monday or the following Monday because of the holidays. And those of you who love Chazanis, save the date of May 25th here in Manhattan. It's going to be a dynamite concert. It'll be finalized tomorrow. I hope all goes well, and when I come back, you'll hear all about it. Okay, listen, we're celebrating a holiday of our freedom, and there are those, unfortunately, still today who would destroy the Jewish people. There are facts, there are beliefs, some based on facts, and some beliefs that are based on ignoring the facts. It is important to recognize the idea of a pretext, a smokescreen. A pretext is simply an excuse to disregard facts and to move forward on one's own bias, one's own clear ignoring the facts despite the truths. When the Arabs wanted to start the Second Intifada, they used the pretext, the smokescreen of Sharon daring to walk on the Temple Mount as their excuse. We see now Mr. Hussein Obama's pretext of Israel's announcement of building homes in Israel, in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, as an excuse to vilify and condemn Jews and to hold back promised military hardware. You may not be aware of this, but this past week, our dear president diverted 387 bunker-busting bombs that were on their way to be delivered to Israel. These bombs could be used in an attack on Iran. This is Israel's punishment for daring to plan to build homes in its capital city, which it has every right to do. Paul, I know you agree with me, and I'm glad that you were able to get the program on the air. Let's get the facts straight. Israel is a democracy. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. The proposed homes lie within Jerusalem's boundaries. Israel has every right to build homes in its capital city. As Prime Minister Netanyahu said, there is no difference between our building in Jerusalem and building in Tel Aviv. Of course, the Arab enemy sees all of Israel as Arab land. Perhaps Mr. Obama will soon carry out a campaign to vilify Israel for daring to build in Tel Aviv. Let's get further facts straight. The Arab-Muslim goal is the destruction of the Jewish state. The creation of a state called Palestine will be a terrorist state. There is no such thing as a democratic Arab nation, and there is absolutely no reason to believe that a Palestinian state will be anything but a terrorist state ruled by ruthless thugs. Last week, the PA dedicated a town square to a terrorist who killed innocent Jews. Not a word from Mr. Obama or his administration. Let's get further facts straight. Mr. Obama is no friend of Israel. Mr. Obama has abandoned other former friends of the United States and has curried favor with the worst dictators, terrorists, anti-US and anti-Israel regimes. Mr. Obama thinks that he can force a settlement down the throats of Israel the same way he forced, bought, deceived, threatened in order to get his disastrous health plan implemented. And we all saw what lengths he will go to get his objectives. And this is really scary, very, very scary. It's instructive for you, my dear listeners, to hear some of the comments, voices of truth, voices of reason that appeared in different publications. Let's go back a week ago, Monday, March 15th. This is the lead editorial in the Wall Street Journal. It's entitled, Obama's Turn Against Israel. The U.S. makes a diplomatic crisis out of a blunder. In recent weeks, the Obama administration has endorsed healthy relations between Iran and Syria, mildly rebuked Syrian President Bashar Assad for accusing U.S. of colonialism, and publicly apologized to Muammar Gaddafi. When it comes to Israel, however, the administration has no trouble rising to a high pitch of public indignation. On a visit to Israel last week, Vice President Joe Biden condemned an announcement by a mid-level Israeli official that the government had approved a planning stage, the fourth out of seven required, for the construction of 1,600 housing units in northern Jerusalem. By the way, this was, if you got that, it's the fourth approval needed out of seven. This was not something that was just created for Mr. Biden. Then the editorial goes on to talk about the affront and Netanyahu's apology. As for the West Bank settlements, it is increasingly difficult to argue that their existence is the key obstacle to a peace deal with the Palestinians. Israel withdrew all of its settlements from Gaza in 2005, only to see the Strip transform itself into a Hamas stronghold and a base for continuous rocket fire against Israeli civilians. Israeli anxieties about America's role as an honest broker in any diplomacy won't be assuaged by the administration's neuralgia over this particular housing project, which falls within Jerusalem's municipal boundaries. This episode does fit Mr. Obama's foreign policy pattern to date. Our enemies get courted. Our friends get the squeeze. It has happened to Poland, the Czech Republic, Honduras, and Colombia. Now it's Israel's turn. This was from the Wall Street Journal. By the way, what I'm reading, there are just a little bit of editing to make the flow go, but I didn't want to spend 2 hours on this. Then this past Thursday, March 18th, in the New York Post, Ralph Peters, the headline, Breaking with Israel, Who Will Trust America Now? If the Obama administration continues to betray Israel, will any ally ever trust us again? The White House has intensified its diplomatic pogrom against Israel, our only respectable ally in the Middle East. Has Obama's vaunted intellect been so easily seduced by the myth that Arab extremists long to be our pals if only Israel would go away. No Palestinian leader has offered up a fraction of the compromises made by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But Obama demands that the Israelis make all the compromises, giving their mortal enemies a free pass for their transgressions. It's surreal to watch our president act as if terrorist organizations, autocracies, and outright dictatorships are morally superior to Israel's rule of law democracy. Arabs are intransigent and progress is dead, all thanks to Obama's arrogant refusal to do his homework. A lifetime of extremist associations has infected Obama with an emotional loathing for the Jewish state and a romantic vision of Palestinian terrorists as freedom fighters. I want to repeat that. A lifetime of extremist associations has infected Obama with an emotional loathing for the Jewish state and a romantic vision of Palestinian terrorists as freedom fighters. Sorry, Mr. President. The Palestinians, Syrians, Iranians, Hezbollah, Hamas, Russians, Chinese, Shavistas, and all those enemies you've rushed to embrace are not going to love us or you. Cease your mad affairs. Come back to our marriage with our proven allies. Betraying Israel may give you emotional satisfaction, sir, but it will bring us no lasting benefits. That was Ralph Peters this past Thursday. Then this morning, rather early this morning, I got from Nadia Matar and Yehudit Katzover, the time is now. It is time to speak it out for all who believe that Jews have the same political freedom, national, civil, and religious liberties as every other people to live anywhere in the world, including the right to live anywhere in Jerusalem, Judaism's eternal capital. The outrage hurled against the Jewish state by the current U.S. administration for, one, daring to approve the building of homes for Jews in a Jewish neighborhood 2 miles from the holiest site in Judaism, the Temple Mount, and for, two, daring to do so when U.S. Vice President Joe Biden was in Israel, is grossly misplaced and is itself an affront. The public expression of this outrage is yet another means to pressure Israel's government unfairly. Let's be clear. The only apologies should come from those attempting to bar Jews from building homes and living in any neighborhoods in Jerusalem. We say to all those who claim to support the Jewish state, including Israeli officials, not to be afraid to say out loud, yes, Jews can, do, and will build and live in Jerusalem now and forever. We call on all those who reject this position to explain why an official policy of religious discrimination is acceptable when it is enforced against Jews. It is most shocking that a U.S. administration claiming to support a strong Israel would allow its policies to fan the flames of Arab hatred, incitement, and violence against its only free and democratic Middle Eastern ally. Okay, I'm just getting started here. It's just a couple of more items. There are two comments, one from a senator and one from a congressman. This is from Senator Brownback. Senator Sam Brownback, who is a Republican from Kansas. Quote, it's hard to see how spending a weekend condemning Israel for a zoning decision in its capital city amounts to a positive step towards peace. Rather than launching verbal attacks on our staunch ally and friend, it would be far more worthwhile for this administration to expend the effort planning for the transfer of our embassy to Jerusalem and tackling the growing Iranian nuclear threat. By the way, it has been a law that was passed to move the embassy from Tel Aviv to the capital of Israel. It's the only country in the world where our embassy is not located in the capital city of that country. And, that itself is certainly an affront. But this is interesting. In Obama's own party, U.S. Representative Shelley Berkley, a Democrat of Nevada, sent out a particularly scathing statement about the administration's, quote, irresponsible overreaction to Israel Interior Ministry's awkward timing of its zoning announcement, which Obama advisor David Axelrod, of course a Jew, termed an insult and an affront. Berkeley noted, "No doubt the administration's overwrought rhetoric is designed to try to appease Palestinian politicians and convince them the U.S. is an honest partner in the peace process by seizing every available opportunity to criticize the actions of our ally Israel." That strategy also includes ignoring the myriad provocations by Palestinian leaders that make pursuing peace such a long and arduous process. And Berkeley ends with, "Where was the outrage when the Palestinian Authority this week named a town square after a woman who helped carry out a massive terror attack against Israel? It has been the PA who has refused to participate in talks for over a year, not the government of Israel. Yet, once again, no concern was lodged by the administration, and all the while, Hamas restocks its terror arsenal and fires rockets into Israel." Gut gesucht. That was Shelley Berkeley and Sam Brownback. Now, there is an organization in Israel. It's called American Israeli Action Coalition. It represents 250,000 Americans living in Israel. The American Israel Action Coalition today called upon President Barack Obama to immediately apologize to the state of Israel for the vicious slurs against it recently expressed by Vice President Joe Biden and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Both of these high officials of the Obama administration, in unprecedented moves, strongly and incorrectly castigated Israel for merely announcing that its housing ministry had approved the construction of badly needed residential housing units in its Jerusalem capital. Again, this is the capital of Israel. The Biden and Clinton outbursts are a canard against Israel and do not represent the views of the American people, stated Harvey Schwartz, who is the AIAC chairman. That's American Israel Action Coalition. "Never before has the United States government injected itself into the residential construction affairs in the capital city of any other country. Jerusalem is no less the capital of Israel than Washington, D.C. is the capital of the United States. Neither Israel nor any other country, for that matter, has ever butted into Washington's domestic construction agenda. The American people understand that the United States government should not butt in to Jerusalem's as well." And their closing statement, that the AIAC assures the Israeli public that the American public is highly supportive of its efforts to live in peace and security as a sovereign country. The American public is well aware of Biden's pro-Iranian views and Hillary Clinton's publicly planting a kiss on Arafat's wife, Suha, at a time when they were shunned by the American people and is most embarrassed by the latest Biden and Clinton rants. AIAC calls for the American Israelis, as well as Americans of goodwill, to let President Obama, as well as their senators and congressmen, know how they feel about this issue. Okay, I guess you know how I feel about this issue. And I guess it's also appropriate for me to play, as I do whenever I'm aroused about Israel, and this is one selection that I unabashedly and unashamedly play more frequently than once a year, because unfortunately the lesson is a hard one, and it's Jan Peirce's Unser Shtetl Brennt, and of course the words, "You stand by and look on with folded arms and stand and look passively on while our town is burning." And we're doing the same thing while Israel is burning. Let's hear this wonderful version of Es Brennt. It was written by Mordechai Gebertig in 1939 and it foretold the coming of the horrible Holocaust. And we have to prevent such another one coming upon the Jewish people while we have any ability to have our voices heard.
has brennt. Bei uns der roaring Städten never brennt. Diese Winden mit Radosen reißen, brechen und zu blasen, starker noch die wilde Flammen, als herum sein brennt. Und ihr steht und kifft auf sich mit verlegte Hand. Und ihr steht und kifft auf sich unser stetes Brenn. Ach, es brennt, es kann Cholile kommen, der Moment. Das ganze steht mit uns zusammen, soll weg in Nacht in Flammen bleiben, wenn die Nacht erschlacht, schwarze Puste brennt. Und ihr steht und kriegt das Säusich verlegte Hand. Und ihr steht und gibt das Eisig unser stetes Brand. Es weißt, was ihr nur kennt. Und ihr steht und kriegt das Eise mit verlegtem. Und ihr steht und kriegt das Eise unser stetes Brand.
As Brent, are you standing by with folded arms as Israel is burning? I hope not. This past Tuesday evening, there was a very interesting cantorial concert that took place at the Westside Jewish Center on West 34th Street. And I congratulate David Pressler and Yossi Lissauer, the two cantors who put that together. I know that some of you who are listening attended that, and it certainly was something that... that was very worthwhile, and it points out, by the way, that there is certainly a need for a venue to hear new voices. I'm queuing up. We heard Bensian Schenker with three different versions of Betzeis Yisrael. And this is my favorite one.
B'tzeis Yisroel mi Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov me'yam lo'yeh. Oy sa Yehuda, Yehuda lekashoy, Yisroel mamshelay sa.
Yitzeis Yisroel mi Mitzrayim, Beis Yaakov meyam lo yes. Oy sa Yehuda, Yehuda lekashoy, Yisroel.
Ayo, Meron.
Hayaret ein yil soy ve yoho Erim rokendu rokdu heyeli Gibo
Well, the end of the first hour of this special pre-Pesach program. I remind you, not coming back next Monday or the following Monday. Hopefully in 3 weeks, be back stronger than ever. You want to contact me, cbjmusic@aol.com. cbjmusic@aol.com. Don't forget to save the date of May 25th for a really, really great, great concert. May 25th, a Tuesday evening. I'll tell you more about it when I come back in 3 weeks, but you'll certainly want to attend that. Okay, let's go now to the second hour of this very special pre-Pesach program. Thank you for joining with me.
Mm-hmm.